Hello, this is Mary Lou Goodyear from the University of Kansas, podcasting from EDUCAUSE 2010 conference. I'm joined for a conversation today with Julia Tian, president of Baker College Online and the Center for Graduate Studies. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
In a recent survey, campuses reported a 22% increase for distance learning environments. That's a pretty significant increase. In your programs, how are you kind of keeping up with that sort of demand?
We're not seeing that type of increase right now as more and more universities and colleges are entering the distance learning market. We're seeing an increase in competition. So when you take a look at the spectrum of the competition coming in, the growth is coming from new programs. Baker College Online, our programs are growing about 6% each year, where we were experiencing significant growth in years prior when we first started out with our programs. We are seeing a growth in the number of students that are choosing to take a cafeteria-style approach to their learning, where they're picking and choosing between online courses and on-ground courses. In Michigan, the economy has been very difficult, and unemployment has been higher than average in the country. So we are seeing a lot of students returning back for retraining. Because of that, our on-ground campuses have had surges in enrollment, which then led to a surge in enrollment in what we call our campus-based online students, because they were picking and choosing the types of courses to fit into their schedule.
With that economy being a driver back to higher education, are there particular programs that you're seeing have more increases than others, or is it pretty much across the board?
It's across the board. We're seeing a lot of increase in our technology programs and a huge increase in our health-based programs. The online programs, we have a few health-based programs. We have a lot of technology programs and business programs. But I think a lot of people are retooling for those industries that they're seeing more job potential, like healthcare and technology.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So inclusion and accountability seems to be key factors in getting effective buy-in from both executive leadership and employees. What are you finding are the best strategies for approaching these two concepts within your organization?
I'm extremely fortunate because our executive leadership loves our online program. It's been a key driver in our growth, and it's a key strategic element at Baker College, because we're starting to see some of the change that we're making in online education filter down into our traditional education. So we're having an impact in the way teaching and learning happens at Baker College. So the supportive executive leadership has not been an issue for us. We've always had it. I think without it, we wouldn't have been as successful as we are. We wouldn't have been allowed to try some risky things, some different ways of doing things, had we not had that. As far as buy-in from our employees, we really have a great working environment at Baker College and at Baker Online. Our family-type atmosphere has really promoted that buy-in, because employees aren't afraid to ask questions. They're not afraid to share their ideas. And we embrace that, where we're constantly asking for feedback, constantly asking in our operations committee meetings, you know, take this back to your staff, ask them how they feel that we could make changes or make this process better. So from really the ground up, all the way up to executive leadership, we have that feedback loop and process. And where as we're getting larger, it's becoming a little bit more difficult to do. We went from a staff of 6 in 1994 to a staff of over 100 currently. So it's a constant struggle and battle to make sure that everyone is included. I think we're doing a pretty good job at it, even though our employees tell us we can be doing a better job. So we're working on that and using their ideas. But I think that's key, asking the employees who are doing those jobs on a daily basis, what do you think? How can you make this a better process? You're seeing it, you're doing it, you're working with the students, tell us, and giving them some empowerment in their own individual areas.
So you have a little crystal ball. What do you see Wow, that is such a years ahead.
Yeah, that is such a huge question. I'm asked that all of the time. And you look at, okay, so what is the future and how far can you predict? I'm not sure I can predict what my job will be when I get back from attending this conference, let alone predict out 5 years. I think we're going to see, and I'm hoping we're going to see, that regulation will finally catch up to the changes that education is doing in our system. I just don't think it's there. I don't maybe put my foot in my mouth here and get myself in trouble by saying this, but I really don't think that our government and Department of Ed that are making regulations as it results are, or as it pertains to for-profit accreditation regulation, I don't think they understand a lot of what education is doing right now. And I don't think they have a good grasp on what is online learning, what's good learning, what's assessment. And I really think they need to talk to us a little bit more before they start making some of these decisions. I think that's huge. So I hope, and it is my prediction, that that will happen, that there'll be a more of a partnership between educational institutions and the Department of Ed and regulatory institutions so they have that understanding. So we do have some sort of quality measures in place to benchmark ourselves against and for accreditation purposes. I think we're going to see a lot more technology bleeding down into traditional education. As you look at the new generation that are hitting our campuses right now, it's scary to think that they've never dialed a rotary phone. Mm-hmm. There's a group in Facebook that says, click here if you've actually dialed a rotary phone. So use that as an example that we really, in order to keep them engaged, we really need to use the tools that they're using. I heard so often yesterday, I attended a couple social media pre-conference sessions, and I'm twittering away on my iPhone, and I have my iPad, and others have their iPads and their laptops, and they're saying we don't like it when our students bring these into the classrooms because then they're not paying attention to me. I'm giving them the information. And I said, well, you're kind of looking at it the wrong way. I think what you need to do is go to where they are. And I said, look at what these presenters are doing. It was just brilliant. They had us meeting in small groups, videotape it, put it up there, tweet your group discussions. And so through using those tools, they're engaging us in that process of learning. And I think we'll see a lot more of that happening in the classroom, where we have a group and a generation of multitaskers, and we need to keep all facets of their thumbs and their minds engaged to increase the learning. And I think we'll get there, and being able to understand those tools and use them in a way that increases learning. Again, not using them just because they're cool and they're pretty and we like them, but using them in a way to increase learning in the classroom. And I think we'll see a lot more blended delivery models. They're out there now. I just don't think they're as big as we're going to see them, where a student is not going to say, well, I'm just going to take an online program, or I'm just going to take an on-campus program. I think we'll see a blending of that. At Baker, we're seeing that a little bit more. We don't really have full programs developed in that format, where we'll see, one student will say, well, I'm working on Tuesday nights. This class is only offered on Tuesday nights, so I need to take it online. Or statistics is a real challenge for me. I really need to be in the classroom for that, but I don't think I need to be in the classroom for the entire time. I think I can do some stuff online and some stuff in class. So I think we'll see some blending of that. And I'm hoping to see where we as educational institutions are developing programs and delivery methods that meet the individual needs of that student. So we sit down one-on-one with each individual student and build a program that meets their needs, from delivery to services to the end product when they graduate. So I'm hoping that's where we'll go.
Well, thank you very much for being with us today. Appreciate the conversation.
You're welcome.